Longtime listeners to this podcast know that every week we pick a random topic out of a bingo ball cage filled with an infinite amount of topics.
Huh. Hmm. Today, we drew a really random topic that neither of us were particularly interested in, but we must do what the bingo ball says.
This week, we're discussing the second album by the rock band Chicago, Chicago. Later known as Chicago 2.
How Star Wars is it?
Hi.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello.
You went high, I went low, yeah. Just like Michelle Obama used to say. Welcome to the podcast. This is How Star Wars Is It, which is the only podcast. And we rate things on a scale of 1 to 10, not of how good or bad they are, but how Star Wars they are. Mike, I had the distinct displeasure of telling a couple new people about our podcast. The other day, because I can't remember why I brought it up. I think I was editing or like...
It really is unpleasant because I'll bring it up every so often too, because like something one of us said was a particularly interesting or funny take on whatever thing going on. Not saying that we're like...
Funny or interesting? Yeah.
But it always is like, my friend and I were talking...
For an hour, we recorded this. So like I was in a little play festival, which we could have talked about the Patreon too.
Right.
I talk about a little 10-minute play fest put on by Malarkey, which is Comedy Sports' new production company, and it was fun. And I told my little cast, including director and writer, and my one like cast member about my podcast, and they were like, "Oh, that's fun," and I was like, "Yeah, it's fine." But then I said the thing that I always say, where I'm like, "Yeah, we." I have like 30, 40 people that listen, and they were like, oh, okay. And I was like, yeah, it's not like successful, but I was like, but I always say that if I had an improv show and 30 people came to it every week, that would be pretty good.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, so I did the whole like, we rate things on a scale of 1 to 10 of how good or not of how good or bad the Star Wars they are. And the thing is like, they did all understand it.
Right.
And then I read them the recent topics we did, and they were like, that is weird.
Like, oh wait, I thought I understood, but it seems as though I don't.
Yeah, they're like, so what all do you cover? And I was like, we cover everything. Lunch, winter. And they were confused.
So anyway, we compare every topic, every week we pick a new topic and we compare it to Star Wars on a scale of 1 to 10, Josiah said. Not of how good or bad it is, but how Star Wars it is. And this week, you know what's crazy? I don't think either of us realize this, but you know, famously, every episode for it's now been like we're approaching 300, basically.
Yeah, which is crazy.
We have rolled our bingo ball cage, and out comes a ball, and that's the topic. The cage has infinite amount of balls in it.
Right, infinite balls.
And weirdly, we've had things like Junesicle Theater Month, where every week we talked about a musical, or Shark Month.
Yeah, sometimes... The bingo ball cage gets in a certain mood.
Yeah, and it lets us know because we will kind of advertise, or you know, like how we're doing Fast and the Furious at the end of every month this year. Like the bingo ball cage knows that. I just realized here right now as we're talking.
What did you realize?
This is the third ball in a row called Chicago.
Wait, what?
Yeah, last week we did the movie, the musical. And the week before, we did the city of Chicago, and this is the band Chicago's album, Chicago.
That's
so it's like double Chicago.
That's crazy because we didn't even plan.
No,
we didn't plan this, and the bingo ball cage did not tell us that it was a themed month.
No,
this just happened.
Otherwise,
randomly.
We would have said something.
Yeah, we would have marketed it as such. We would have said something. This is like a retroactive Chicago.
Yeah, weird, huh?
That's so strange.
That's really weird.
That's so weird.
Before we get into it, and we've already diverted a little, I wrote this
oh, no.
earlier today. listeners who
can't to do some close-up magic. No,
but listeners who can't see what I'm holding up, it is a piece of paper folded in half, and on the front it just says in all caps "prediction." And I will open this toward the end of the episode.
Excellent. I don't know. I want to pick something up and show you. I have this, a little Mario guy. He has nothing to do with this episode.
Okay.
All right.
We got the bingo ball for this album.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about rock and roll.
Rock and roll.
And the band Chicago.
Yeah, neither of us.
Not any of us.
Not any of us. Not me, not you, not the mouse in my pocket.
Right.
Care that much about the band Chicago. Or, for that matter, this album, Chicago, aka Chicago 2.
Yeah.
I feel like you might be slightly more of a, have more of a knowledge of classic rock than I
do. Right, I brought all those like rock operas to the table.
Yeah, I like the only classic rock I know really is like certain Beatles songs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's barely, I don't know if it's like, that's like rock pop, you know, it's not right. Just like pure rock and roll.
Right.
And like, only reason I know that is because I had a friend in high school who was very into the Beatles, and so I got into like some of it because of him. But it's a very surface level knowledge. Like I don't know albums. I don't know like, you know, I don't know like the deep cuts.
Yeah.
And so I have the sort of disadvantage of growing up like religious, in a household of parents who, not like on purpose, I don't even think they were doing it on purpose, where we really only listened to like Christian music, which was weird because they didn't do that when they were growing up.
Uh-huh.
Like my dad listened to country Western music.
Uh-huh.
And my mom listened to like pop music.
Chicago.
Like she liked, probably.
Yeah.
She had like her record collection, which still exists somewhere in our house or in storage or something, had like John Denver and like the Mamas and the Papas.
Sure.
And like, you know, the Carpenters and stuff like that. So like they liked, you know, not like secular music, but I guess what happened was in the 90s, there was a push for like a new creation of like Christian culture.
Right.
Where it was like, we need our own counterculture. Yeah. Away from secular culture.
We need Adventures and Odyssey. We need VeggieTales.
Yeah, we need VeggieTales. We need like Christian music.
Yeah.
And so I had the disadvantage of growing up with mostly Christian music and not getting the classic like rock and pop and country western from my parents that they listened to growing
right.
up. Like, I never listened to this stuff. Like,
it's
a lot
funny,
of people
those,
get
those ones that you mentioned were all like my mom's favorite too, like the Carpenters.
Yeah.
And Mamas and the Papas and stuff. My dad's influence to me was like another decade or two later, other than the Beatles and the Who are two big favorites of his.
Yeah.
But the stuff that I really associate with like my dad is like Genesis and then
sure.
like Styx. And like Def Leppard, like the kind of like 80s rock.
Yeah, totally.
More
your
so
dad
than, and
rocks,
again,
man.
And the Beatles and the Who. But like
right.
So like classic rock to me.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, defining that is already tricky because classic rock
right.
is like Chuck Berry.
Yes.
You know, like that's who I think of. I think of like
hey,
the invention
honestly,
of rock and roll. To say classic rock is like, you know, what's the joke in the song 1985 by Bowling for Soup? Like, when did Motley Crue become classic rock?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Motley Crue, but it's kind of also not the Beatles or the Stones. Like that's what radio says is classic rock. But
right, I was just about to say like classic rock at this point is like fucking Weezer,
yeah,
man.
Right,
like
right.
like the 90s could be classic rock at
yeah.
this point. But no, classic rock is a hard thing to nail down. But your dad sounds like he rocks because he liked rock and he likes like pure rock and roll, baby. And I wish I regret not getting the music knowledge or like
yeah,
fandom
yeah.
from my parents that they liked growing up. And I want to be able to pass that on of like to the next generation of what I like.
Yeah, and it's
to
funny
be like,
too.
You gotta listen to the Killers.
Yeah, yeah. But it's funny too because like, as we've discovered with old movies, it's probably similar with
yeah.
bands. This one is a good example of like turning it on, having no knowledge or opinion of it. Even, you know, like, even The Who, I knew the hits, so, like, you can slog through Tommy and get Pinball Wizard and be like, oh, yeah, okay, this is, like, bringing new energy to my experience.
Right. Well, even...
Whereas this was just, like, I had no affiliation to this record. Yes. It was just sort of like, okay, there's another song like that one.
Yeah. More horns. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know I what think I that, bet like, this band is, or especially was in, like, the live. 70s? The coolest live act you've ever seen.
Oh, probably amazing live.
I couldn't imagine.
So a couple things. Like, one, I think that going off of, like Tommy, that's the name of it, right?
The Who one, yeah. Or Quadrophenia. One, yeah.
Yes.
Or the two that we
going off
about.
Of our rock opera month, or 2 months of rock operas, there was something about listening to a rock opera as a whole album.
Yes.
That was somehow more compelling than listening to an album that's just an album that you don't know that well. Because listening to, like, Quadrophenia and Tommy and everything, and even, like, you know, The Wall and stuff like that, I was like, there's a story here. There's a through line here.
Yeah.
There's, like, motifs,
it's
you know?
It's like asking your brain to be a little more turned on.
Yeah. And then with this album, yeah, coming into it with, like, no affiliation, no, like, love, like, lost for it. Like, not to say that I don't like it. Just, like, I don't know it. I just don't know
it. It's literally the type of music that, like, television shows use when they go to commercial.
Yes, in text you were like, it's like the David Letterman
it's
band.
It's like the
being
SNL
like,
band, the David Letterman band.
Yeah, it's just like big band, like
party
horn
rockin'
section.
Band. Yeah.
Like, you've got guitar, you got horns, and, like, it's great. And, like, this is well done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that they're not succeeding at what they're doing. It's just that coming into it without any, like, love for it is, like, feels weird.
Yeah.
And so listening to it, I can listen to it, like, you know, several times all the way
it's
through.
It's almost like we decided we had to talk about it because it is called Chicago by Chicago. But, like, that doesn't make sense because, again, the topic was randomly assigned to us by our bingo ball.
Right. It would make more sense if we had somehow,
like, just
scheduled
chosen it. Yeah.
Three Chicago topics in a row. But that is not what happened because we're surprised as you are.
Yeah. And, you know, like, if the option were two Chicagos in a row and then the third one was the formatting style for writing or the song by Sufjan Stevens, neither of those would have carried as much water as this, even though we don't have terribly strong opinions about this album.
Yeah, we probably should have done if we had chosen it, if we had chosen
it. Yeah, and of course we didn't. That's what we're saying.
That's what we're saying. But if we had chosen it, it might have been a better idea to do the Sufjan song because we have covered songs before and do both like that song.
And we like it,
We might have had
now,
more to say about
okay,
it.
Okay, question. I don't have a game prepared for that, but do we right now just say that's what we're going to do for the rest of the time? And then we could play the game we were going to play, which was just like naming our favorite songs from Chicago 2.
I feel like if we do that, I will have wasted 3 or 4 hours of my life listening
like
to this album.
To this, yeah.
And I don't want to feel like I've wasted
it. Okay.
Maybe we can just save that for next month and we can just like keep Chicago keep going. Month going. Even though we didn't mean to do it, but we could just keep going.
But we can, you know, like the Sorting Hat does take your opinions into account. Like we can ask the bingo ball cage, can we do Sufjan song?
Please. Yeah. We will
and
he would
go,
supplication.
Sufjan song.
Sufjan song.
You could do great things in Slytherin.
That's what the bingo ball cage is, weird CGI or puppet puppetry where it's like combination of both. Has a mouth and everything. Are you going to go see, speaking of Sufjan, or Sufjan, is it Sufjan or Sufjan?
I think it's Jan.
Yeah, Sufjan. Are you going to go see the little musical
slash
ballet? I
would like to. I need to listen to that record. I know the song Chicago, namely because it was in Little Miss Sunshine, and I listened to that album all the time as like a youth.
I remember I haven't listened to it in a long, long time, so I would need to re-listen because I'm not like a Sufjan fan. I like that song and I like the guy as a concept because I think he's a good musician.
I could
see
myself becoming a fan in the way that like I became a Killers fan in my 30s. Like,
yeah, totally.
Oh, You like every song of his that comes up on your Spotify Discover. Why don't you listen to what the algorithm's trying to tell you and just like become a fan?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. Because like, I
stop resisting.
Yeah, stop resisting. Just like, although I say we shouldn't always give into the algorithm, because I meant to bring this up on the Patreon too. My TikTok occasionally lately is like, hey, you ever thought about becoming a sovereign citizen? And I'm like, no, what are you talking about? And that is a crazy community of people. Are you even familiar with this?
Not really. I understand the gist of it by your tone and the words.
This is a slight diversion. Basically, this
on
like,
this show?
On this show? Who's heard of such a thing? Basically, it's people who like go through a very lengthy and expensive and arduous process to remove themselves from being a citizen of any country.
Okay.
So they become a sovereign citizen where they are not a citizen of any country. They are their own citizen of just their own self.
And strong it, like, Badia.
Strong Badia. You can apparently do that. It just is like there's a lot of like steps and paperwork and like money involved to like get to the point
that's
where you are not
so
affiliated with anything.
That there's paperwork, because that means it's going to like the government.
I know. But it's like, but then like once you do it, you are essentially like off the grid in a lot of ways.
Uh-huh.
Where like if you get a ticket, a speeding ticket or something, you're like, I don't fucking follow your laws, dude. Like, you can't give me a ticket. I'm not a citizen of the United States.
And does that hold up?
I
because
don't
like
know.
Okay, fine, but you're driving on our roads.
I know. I don't know if like any court in any like country would be like, okay, I guess you're free to go. I feel like most of them would be like, you still owe us money.
Yeah.
You still use money, don't
you? Or to be honest, if you're like, if you are driving, say, driving recklessly, what's keeping them from just killing you? Like, you were committing crimes in our country and you're a foreign national.
That's also true. They're gonna be like, oh, no one's gonna miss you.
Yeah.
This will not cause any international incident if you just disappear.
The prime minister of Derek is Coolville is like not gonna write us a letter, because I think we done just killed him.
I think we killed Derek. Uh-oh. Anyway, so don't always follow the algorithm, but if it tells you to like Sufjan, I think you should follow that.
Yeah.
But this album is like, okay, this is the other thing I was gonna say. So in high school, I was a big Dave Matthews Band fan.
Uh-huh.
And I can see the DNA.
Yeah. There's like, you know
what I mean?
Draw a line.
Yes. You can draw a line from Chicago to Dave Matthews Band.
Totally.
It's like a wiggly line that goes through some different bands. And like, there's a lot of lines that go into Dave Matthews Band, obviously, as every band has a lot of influences. But specifically the horn section.
Yeah.
And like the horn solos in these and stuff. I was like, dang, this is like kind of listening to, this reminds me of like a live Dave Matthews Band show. Because I went to see Dave, and I do call him Dave, because I did like him in high school, so I will call him Dave. Thank you very much. But I did go to like three Dave shows every summer for 3 years in high school. And incredible live shows.
Yeah.
Because these guys are like at the top of their game in their respective instruments, right? And like they're, each of them, some of the best, as Dave aside, he's a fine guitarist, but he's not like an elite guitarist, but like he has elite guitarists playing with him.
Right.
And like elite horns players and keys and drummers, like everyone in the band is at the top of their game and in the highest echelon of these, you know, instrumentalists. And I feel like watching a Chicago show would be similar, because you'd just be like, these guys are fucking ripping.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's,
I love
there's bands
section.
Now that are like kids, our age kids. Lol.
Right.
But you know that band kids. Lawrence?
Yes.
They're on like TikTok.
They're great.
Like,
I see them on TikTok, yeah.
There's the kind of like multi-piece party band. You know, there's bands, you know, that are like big, like Arcade Fire or Polyphonic Spree, where it's just like a fucking orchestra, Sufjan even for that matter. But like, even just a sort of clone of Chicago still exists now, and people love it. Like, I would go see Lawrence. Like,
totally.
That would be a fun show.
From what I've seen on TikTok, they're really fun to watch.
Yeah. And I don't know how well that translates when you're at work listening on Spotify, unless you were exposed to this music as a young person, either because you were young in the 60s and 70s or because you were exposed to it by way of your parents or whatever. That said, 25 or 6 to 4 is one of like the best rock songs of all time.
Yeah, it's great. Like,
talk about you can draw a straight line to future acts. Green Day just took that song.
Yes.
Like, the, I can't remember which song it is. Having trouble trying to sleep. You know that song?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. It, 25 or 6 to 4. It's a great song. There's honestly a couple good songs on this album. We'll get to that in the game section.
Yeah,
it's like the 25 or 6 to 4. What, first off, I don't know what that means. And I'm going to look it up.
I think,
I'm looking up right now.
I think it's that they're talking about what time it is. And it's it's like 25 or 6 till 4.
Mm.
I think, right? Are you looking it up?
Yeah. The song's title is the time at which the song is set. 25 or 26 minutes before 4 a.m. Oh, 25 or 6.
Yeah.
So 25 or... Hick 26
yes.
or sick 26 to 4 o'clock.
Right.
Okay.
That's weird. Cool.
That's very weird way to say that.
Talk about listeners. If you're interested in more of this show, past what you get every week for free, we do have a Patreon where we have a weekly bonus episode, and we talk all about like lyrics being a secondary thing if the song rips.
Yes. Yeah, you don't need to know what it means. It just sounds cool.
Yeah.
Like, it also sounds like I assumed it was something about, like, I don't know, working.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it sounds like 9 to 5.
Right, know? Right.
Where I'm like, oh, it's 6 to 4. I can't believe I have to work from 6 to 4. What long hours?
Yeah.
But it's not. But, like, I just assumed that it was something like that. That's funny.
How Star Wars is this album? The only thing that I thought of once that bingo ball came up was it was released. So they were called Chicago Transit Authority for a while.
Yes.
At the beginning of their career, which was also the name of their first record. But then they shortened it to Chicago.
Right.
That's the band name they shortened. So they've already changed one thing about the identity. And then they released the album Chicago.
Right.
And then the subsequent record, the record immediately after, they called Chicago 3, like Roman numeral 3. So this one has retroactively become known as Chicago 2.
Right.
And all of this screams Star Wars titling conventions.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's the first Chicago, except it's actually the second Chicago, because the first one was Chicago Transit Authority, but that was when they were Chicago Transit Authority. So it's the first one, but it's actually the second one. That's why it's called Chicago, but actually it's Chicago 2, but it's not. But the one after it is Chicago 3, which then kind of made it be Chicago 2.
Yeah, totally. It's definitely like Star Wars A New Hope, or Star Wars, like, you know, Episode 4, putting Episode 4 on top of it. It's also like, I want to say, like, how IO is it, right? Because they had to change their name from Chicago Transit Authority.
Yes.
Just like Improv Olympic had to change their name from Improv Olympic because of threatened lawsuits.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, it's funny to me that like you can't name your band Chicago Transit Authority.
I wonder if that is what happened. Is that what happened?
Yes, there was a... They were, their legal action was being threatened by the actual Chicago Transit Authority.
By the actual Olympics.
The actual Olympics did, like, you know, tell Improv Olympics they couldn't do that.
No, yeah, I know. I meant that, like, they went after Chicago Transit Authority.
The Olympics were like, you can't call yourself CTA.
Like, sorry, who are Olympics, you? You don't have jurisdiction
here. Why are you worried about this? I think it's funny that you can call your band the City Chicago, and the City Chicago isn't like, stop that.
Yeah.
But the Chicago Transit, you can't call it like the Chicago Transit Authority.
Yeah.
And that feels weird. It feels like you shouldn't be able to call your band like New York City.
Right. There's a band called Boston. There's Alabama. Like There's...
How come you can name your band... Band the names of states and cities and countries, but you can't name your band a organization within that state or country.
Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, so the retitling thing comes to mind. It also came out in the 70s.
Oh yeah, totally. Early 70s though. In actually 1970 itself.
Yes, 1970.
Yeah.
So one can imagine that a young George Lucas listened to this album. And by young, I don't mean like a child. I mean like an adult, but like, you know, younger than he is now.
He probably was like, this rocks.
Yeah.
I bet if we could go to George Lucas right now and say, do you like the band Chicago? He'd be like,
yeah.
I'd listen to their songs in the 70s. Uh-huh. It's crazy that people were alive in the 70s. Whoa.
Yeah.
And they're still alive now?
I know, that is really crazy.
And they're making policy decisions for a government?
I know this is like an annoying, like, is a hot dog a sandwich kind of contemporary thing, but like, I agree with it, so I'm going to say it. This 1970 was 30 years ago. I know it was 50, but it was 30 years ago.
No, it was 30 for sure. Yeah, 2010 was 5 years ago, first
right,
off.
Right, right.
And I know,
we were watching some movie or something. I can't remember now what it was, but I was like, oh, no, we've been watching The Office lately. And I know that that show's been off the air now for a long time. But,
right.
And there are pieces of it that are certainly dated. Like, offices don't really demand that you wear that attire anymore, for example.
Sure.
But I saw the, like, release date of an episode, and it was something like 2010 or whatever, and I was like, yeah, right, so it wasn't that long ago. And then I was like, that was half of my life ago.
Yeah, dude,
that's weird.
It's very weird. It's like it's almost 2010 was almost 15 years ago.
Like, I graduated high school in 2009, and I have memories of high school. I have memories of middle school, you know. Like, that's a weird thing when you remember your life 20 plus years ago.
Yeah, it almost
feels old, I guess, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're old, and also it feels like it shouldn't be possible or like allowed to remember something that long ago, where it's like, oh, I don't know, it was in the 90s. Like, I remember something from the 90s. That seems
impossible.
Very old-fashioned and impossible. Yeah. I also was talking, like, so in the little festival I did, my castmate was young. She was 23, and I love, this is my favorite, I've said this multiple times in the last like couple months, because one of my coworkers at the cafe I work at is also pretty young, and I was like, I told her, and I told both of them, I was like, you don't even remember 9/11.
Yeah.
And that's my favorite thing to say to people in their
20s. It is weird.
Because I'm like, it's like, I don't know, I'm sure that people who lived through the JFK assassination were the same way when they got old enough, where they were like, you don't even remember JFK being assassinated. And that's our, like, the night. And, like, they're going to be, when they're our age, they're going to be like, you guys don't even remember COVID.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, they're going to keep, there's going to be these huge, like, collective traumas that the world goes through that people are like, you don't even remember those. But I just, it makes, for some reason, the 9/11 one makes me laugh when I'm like, you don't even remember 9/11,
yeah,
you
right.
fucking baby. You're a baby. But I don't know. This is like a it's a fun album.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not hard to listen to. It's easy listening. When I texted you, I was like, it feels like background music now.
It's very backgroundy.
Which is weird, because I'm sure for the time it was like, it's literally called progressive rock.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I know it's weird, it's funny. I'm having a feeling that, like, I find funny when other people express it about something like Star Wars or whatever, which is just like, I have no opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. And I'm sure there's people out there who, like, are like, you don't have an opinion about Chicago?
Yeah, right. You know, like, I know Jimmy Pardo of Never Not Funny. It's one of his favorite bands. It might be his favorite band. He talks about him a lot. And so it's always been kind of something that I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm aware that people like that. And it's probably just because I used to listen to Never Not Funny a lot.
Right.
Which, fun little tangent, Matt Belknap, one of the other hosts of that show, producer of it, is a big Star Wars fan.
There you go. We should have him on.
We should. But yeah.
I would love if this show became, here's what I think this show should be, Mike.
Our podcast, okay.
Yeah. It should be an outlet for more famous people than us to share their Star Wars opinions.
Yeah, to do our podcast.
Yes, because, like,
we don't anymore.
No, we don't do
and
it
And someone's got to. It's a great idea.
It's a great idea, and someone's got to do it if we don't do it. And also, like, we have to contractually with the bingo ball cage because it also, if we don't pull a topic out of it and record an episode about it every week, then it will start consuming more of this universe.
Right.
It's basically a black hole.
Right.
It's basically a small black
hole. Yeah, it's did you watch Lost?
Yeah.
You know,
a little
the
bit.
Like 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42, you have to press the button every 185 minutes.
Right.
It's like that. Like
it's like that, yeah.
We don't know what will happen once a week. Yeah. It's like Cabin in the Woods.
It's like Cabin in the Woods. We don't know what will happen if we stop.
We don't. We just know that the circumstances would be dire.
It would be dire for everyone involved.
Yeah.
And everyone in the world, yeah. Honestly.
Hey,
what, what we're saying is...
Should we just stop then?
Should we just
stop? Let's just stop.
What would happen? Mike, no!
Man, this is kind of an interesting idea for like a mystical slash science fiction short story where like someone has to do a podcast. It's a straight white guy. He has to do a podcast despite not being terribly popular or having interesting opinions, or else the world will end.
And no one knows no one knows that what he's doing is actually noble.
Yeah. And like the arc is really just like how many episodes does he do before he's like no one's gonna know. You know, like if the world ends and it all just goes black for everyone, like great.
Yeah, no one knows it was my fault because everyone's gone.
Yeah.
Also, it's like, how many episodes does he go before the crushing weight of the judgment of being the straight white guy with the podcast crushes him so much that he can't do it anymore?
Or just the humiliation that, like, he's yelling into a circle in front of him and no one's hearing it.
Yeah, totally.
I like this. I might kick this around a little.
let's kick it around. It could be something. There could be something there. What I was saying was that we can reach out to people who are more famous than us.
Yeah.
Podcasters, whoever. And say, listen, we know, like the McElroy brothers famously, like amongst their fandom, did a live show that was Star Wars themed that they were so ashamed of that they did not release on the main feed.
Oh,
they were like, that was our least funny show we've ever done. Turns out there's nothing funny about Star Wars.
There really isn't.
And there really isn't. And so... they released it eventually on like a paywall, like because they're on Maximum Fun, and so it's like I listened to it eventually because if you like subscribe to them, you can like hear bonus episodes and stuff. And it was a fine episode. They were just very in their heads about it. But what I'm saying is, we can reach out to the McElroys, to the guy from Never Not Funny, and say, hey, I'm sure you have opinions about Star Wars that you've never been able to express on your own medium.
It's not the venue because
it's not the venue, and it's not like germane to the conversation. Hey, we have a whole show about Star Wars. You can come over here and talk about it over here.
Here's the best part. It's not about Star Wars at all. But
no.
It's in the title, so you can kind of say whatever you want.
You can also talk about whatever you want.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I think this show should be. Should we go to the break?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, good. Wee!
Yahoo!
Due to our mutual fear of making concrete decisions, Kevin and Thomas have a new comedy podcast that is 100% segments top to bottom.
Every week, we spin a wheel of random podcast segments, complete absurd challenges, and get into petty squabbles.
We bring on our favorite comedians and guests, and even let you, the audience, decide what happens next to ensure we have as little control as possible.
Check out Oops! All Segments wherever you get your podcasts.
Do it.
All right. Mike was trying to tell me a story, and it didn't work, so we gave up.
Yeah. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about Chicago.
Chicago's Chicago, baby.
And as we typically on this show, if we cover a record, we'll do a kind of song-by-song assessment of it and smash or pass said song.
Smash or pass it.
This is a long album. It's a double album. I can't remember what we did with those rock operas, but I feel like we did a similar thing. We just sort of both wrote down some of our favorites, and we'll like just play clips of them.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so like we were gonna like find like five favorites. I think I only wrote down four.
I wrote down five, but with the intent of listening to the record again and reordering them because I wasn't being very deliberate about the rank. So. I have a number one, and then I have four others that I wrote down.
Yeah, I have a number one, and I have the other three are like in whatever order.
Yeah.
Should we do number ones last?
Yeah, and we'll just do top fours then, since that's all you have. That'll make it go quicker.
Okay, great. Well then, okay, so first I've got Make Me Smile.
Uh-huh.
Which is part of a, like, longer thing? Okay, yeah. I'm looking at the track listing on Wikipedia.
Uh-huh.
So, apparently, Ballet for a Girl in Buchanan is a song cycle on this album that goes from Make Me Smile through Now More Than Ever.
Yeah.
And I just gotta say that I like kind of that whole section, but Make Me Smile goes a little something like this.
I think it was also a single, right?
Yes, Make Me Smile / Color My World was a single. Here we go, ready?
Yeah.
Make Me Smile. Oh, let me turn off the thing from here.
Because I could tell you what you need in the song.
I don't know when it gets to the lyric.
Like, doesn't this sound like Jesus Christ Superstar?
Yes! That's kind of why I like this section, because it feels very musical theater. Yeah. But it's a song cycle, so it's like kind of supposed to feel that way. There we go. I don't know. It's good. Just we can get to the chorus.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. This album's good.
It's good.
I wish we had anything of any more substance to say.
I totally know what you mean.
But, like, I will listen to it again. I'll listen to this album again.
I'll listen to some of the songs from this album again.
My number four was Poem for the People. Mm. And I'm going to need you to play it because I can't remember how it goes.
Okay. I'll play it. Poem for the People. There we go. I got to find it because there's 1,000 songs in this album. Here we go. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Let's skip ahead a little bit.
I was going to say, I wonder if I liked it because it was mostly instrumental piano. Oh, yeah. It's like midway through the musical, like something that like Judas would sing.
Yeah, totally. It's rarely funny. Or barely funny? I don't know. It's great. I like it. It's a good song.
What someone educated on the topic would say about the relationship between, like, say, this band and this album to, like, musical theater of the 70s.
Sure.
Because, you know, those musicals were doing rock and roll. But, like, with musical theater convention being, like, a full orchestra, the likelihood of rock and roll in the 70s sounding like specifically Chicago was probably fairly high.
Yeah, totally. Oh, Dave Reddick, listen to this episode and tell us
yeah,
something
Dave,
about
that. Yeah, Dave, you know stuff. So
my next one is...
Listen, we're telling you in the episode to listen.
Dave, listen to this
and
one.
And specifically, we're asking you to listen something like 40 minutes in.
Yeah. All right, my next one is Now More Than Ever, which I like. Is it on your list?
It's not, actually.
Wow, we have different ones so far. It's cool. Where's this one?
What a build on these songs.
Yeah. This is the end of a ballet for a girl in Buchanan.
Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, isn't this the same like melody from the earlier one that you had?
Yes.
Make Me Smile, was that the other one?
Yeah. Like I said, I like this little cycle, and Now More Than Ever is only like a minute and a half long, but I just really like that, like,
it's a good hook. Make Me Smile was my next one, so I'll pull my number five then, just since it's my turn.
Okay,
again.
Sure, yeah.
In the Country.
Okay, we have different ones so far. That sounds good.
Where does this go? I'm not like...
I don't remember. We'll get to the chorus. Hold on. Where's the chorus? What's that? Sorry, I can't fuck. I was gonna say it's. Yeah. Talking about the nature of things we've had since birth. It's so strange.
That's why it wasn't in my top four, but I pulled it there at the last second.
It also does this thing. They did some thing where they have like a dual vocalist thing going on sometimes, yeah. And I always enjoy when that happens. Yeah. Makes it fun.
You know what album I bet is fucking great?
Hmm.
The Best of Chicago. Like, oh, Chicago's greatest hits.
You kidding me? You freaking kidding me?
Yeah. What's your number two?
My number two, we got Wake Up Sunshine.
Wow. We did you don't go have that different one ways.
That's so funny.
It's kind of interesting because now we're getting a bigger sample.
Yeah, and also it like, means that this album is pretty good because we like both liked a lot of different songs.
Wake up, sunshine. Open up your sleepy eyes for me.
Yeah, this is good.
Can't have your heart in. I've been waiting all the night. People waiting.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's fun.
Good song. My number two was Moving In.
We had like all different ones.
I know, it's weird, except for Make Me Smile. That was on my
Yeah. This is the album opener.
Yeah.
The horns are great.
Yeah. Tight.
Yeah, really tight.
We know it's hard for you to see that this is all we wanna be.
Skip ahead a little bit.
A constant urge within us grows. We know it's making music. We're trying so hard to make the grade.
I like that Yes We Know It kind of thing. A little like song spot. Anyway, I can't. That's it's all. There's another part that I like and I can't remember where it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, and so the last one, should we just play 25 or 6-4?
Yeah, in its entirety.
In its entirety. And here's 4 minutes of a song.
Thank you.
great.
Yeah, delicious.
It's so good. I love the
if you were to tell me that the band had 10 horns in it, yeah, I'd be like, that sounds about right. Like, I'm sure it can't be that many, but like that, the horns in that song sound like there's enough for there to be like two warring factions. Like, there's sort of counter melodies they're doing. It's like, how many fucking horn players are there?
I know, right? It feels like there are 10. There's probably like 4, but it feels like you have like so many.
Yeah. It's really good.
I think about this when we do these albums, especially when we do like when we've done like the rock operas and the classic rock stuff. I think about how crazy it is that that they wrote a song in 1969 and recorded it and released it in 1970 that people are still singing 30 years later. Yeah.
I know.
You know?
It's weird.
Isn't that crazy? Even stuff like, I don't know, like the more modern stuff, like when we did American Idiot, I'm like, that doesn't feel as crazy yet that we are still singing American Idiot. Right. But it like the fact that like Pinball Wizard is still a classic, 25 or 6 to 4 is still a classic. It makes me think of, there was this guy I was roommates with for a little bit in Chicago who was such an asshole, but like one of his asshole behaviors was that he really looked down on modern music.
Oh, and
he
yes,
was
like, we've
I don't,
talked about that.
I think
that.
I've mentioned this before. Yeah. He's like, I don't like modern music. I don't like modern pop music. I only listen to like classic stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just like, and I still think about this to this day. I'm like, so you like the most popular stuff of all time?
Yeah.
Not modern popular music, but the most popular music of all time is what you like.
You like a song that four generations of people like is their favorite song.
Have all listened to, and all of them have said, this is one of the best songs ever made. That's the kind of music you like? You're definitely better than me.
Oh, you like Day in the Life by the Beatles?
Wow.
You like Gimme Shelter?
Like, truly, I was like, that's such a stupid thing to say, because it's like, I don't like modern music. I like the best music of all time. Yeah. Okay.
I like Claire de Lune. Thank you very much.
I like the song from the Chicago World's Fair that goes, na 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 na. That's what I like. The classics.
Yeah, no, right. That is like a bad take.
It's so silly. But I think about it all the time for stuff like this, like 25 or 6 to 4, we're still singing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's 50 years later. Okay. Chicago is a prolific band.
Yes.
And they've released like a bazillion albums. You know, like
double digits.
Like 20 some odd albums, I think.
Right.
Which is just insane. And the fact that even like on their second album,
they were able to pull that out of like the atmosphere.
Yeah, like right out the gate in their sophomore album, they were like, here's one of the best rock songs.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's okay. I know. Jeez.
It is crazy to think about that. You know, like like David Bowie wrote Life on Mars in like a single day and he was like 24 or whatever. Like, that makes me so mad.
I know. Okay, they've released 26 albums, but the Roman numerals on all of them are weirdly different.
Yeah, they are.
Like on their 26th album, it says 38, which is strange.
Yeah, it goes Chicago Transit Authority, Chicago 3, Chicago 5, Chicago 6, 7, 8, 10, 11, and then in 1978, Hot Streets.
Hot Streets. And they went back to the naming convention.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Numerals 13, and then Roman numerals 14, and then alphanumeric numerals 16.
A really weird back and forth with the naming conventions here. But no, like with people like David Bowie and bands like Chicago and even like, you know, more modern artists and stuff, like we talk about the Killers a lot with Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
And Mr. Brightside is experiencing like not a resurgence, but like a cementing as one of the best songs, you know?
Yeah,
like it's so like in the memes and
over
stuff.
Over the course of like the next 50 years when, you know, you said Weezer's classic rock now, like when there's a general flattening of like music that was and music that is now, in the way that like you could say Chuck Berry, the Beatles, BB King, Loretta Lynn, Like, you can say all these names from, like, different decades, and they're all just kind of, like, old music. I think on a broad enough time scale, like, Mr. Brightside will be on a list with 25 or 6 to 4.
Yeah.
And, you know.
No, totally. That's like okay.
Good golly, yeah. Miss Molly.
Like, in like the year 2100, yes. They're going to be like, what was music like from the invention, for the first 100 years of rock and roll?
Right.
What was music like?
Right.
And it'll be like, yeah, Johnny B. Goode.
It'll be
next
like,
to like,
now that's
Mr.
what I call 20th century.
I love that idea that all the like 25 or 6 to 4 next to Mr. Brightside is such a weird like dichotomy.
Yeah.
Like they don't go together at all. But if you're talking about rock and roll in a way, they kind of do.
Yeah, and then like another one in there could be like Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto and like Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, totally. That's really funny. Oh man, we should do that. We should put together now that's what I call 20th century.
That's
for this one, we decided to go back to, I'm trying to think of an old band that I'm losing it.
Michigan Rag.
We decided to go, we pulled Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. Yeah.
This would be a fun, like maybe a fun Patreon, is if you and I each picked like, say, like those Now albums would have as many as like 17 or 18 tracks on them. Like if you and I each pick, like we just like came prepared with Now That's What I Call 20th Century Pop Rock. And
that's
we just
really
like
funny.
Did a list episode. I think that'd be really
mine
fun.
Would be, I've already like admitted that I don't know classic rock that well. So mine would be like, I don't know, like Duke of Earl because I sang it whenever I was in like elementary school. Or my favorite, which is I'm Henry the Eighth, I am Henry the Eighth, I am. I got married to the widow next door. He's been married 7 times before.
I'm trying to think of another like pull, like because if it's 20th century, we're also talking about like the entertainer. I think was established in the late 19th, maybe, but like
sure. I mean, hey, you know what's who's like solidly in the 20th century. John Philip Sousa, baby. We gotta do some marches.
Speaking of marches, I need to get my act together for March because we could do another March Madness if I can.
Sure.
Quickly.
Yeah, we should. I love those.
Because I remember writing down like in something like April of last year after the March Madness stuff was done and I was able to take a break from video editing again. I was like, okay. I've got like 7 or 8 marches that we didn't use. Plus, I have some other ideas, like things that sound like March, like Marge.
yeah, Marge from The Simpsons.
Anyways,
we should give this thing a rating. We didn't talk about Star Wars at all.
We did
a little bit.
You know
bit.
What? Actually, before we give it a rating, I'm gonna do this again.
Okay.
I'm pulling back up my prediction, and I actually we didn't. The prediction ended up not coming true. But what I wrote was, we will only discuss the album for about 10 minutes, and the rest of the episode will be crazy.
Honestly, you're not entirely...
Yeah, it kind of was.
It was a little crazy. We did discuss the album a little bit, but it was a little crazy here and there.
Yeah.
That's really
should
funny.
We do a, like, because I will say, I don't know that I'm, like, some kind of classic rock expert held up against you.
Sure.
Yeah, but, like... Should we do like a classic rock album like every other month or something?
That could be fun because like that would give me a chance to educate myself.
Yeah.
Also, keep that prediction handy because you could use it for every single episode we record.
Yeah.
Just replace the word album with whatever word record.
But in terms of Star Wars, the only immediate thing besides the retitling, which I do think gives it a point or two, is. Star Wars has music and it's orchestral and it's big, you know, triumphant horns. So like this has that.
Totally. I also think that like I wanted to say something about this album is because it gets instrumental at a certain point.
Yeah, there's like a little mini concerto in the middle of it.
Yes. It sounds like what I wrote down is it sounds like Fantasia.
Yeah.
Like it becomes like this just instrumental like I don't know, like sort of musing prelude, AM morning, PM morning, and Memories of Love. It's just like this 10 minute, just like, you know, instrumental.
I remember
it's kind
being
of
like
beautiful.
6 minutes in or something when I was at my office. I was working and just listening during the day and being like, wait a second.
I haven't heard a lyric in like minutes.
And I like went to Spotify and looked, and I was like, oh, it's like a little, there's like a little show right there in the middle of the album.
There is. And then, at the end,
it's like pod racing.
It's like pod racing. And they were really experimenting with like form and formula, because like at the end you've got like the 4-part song for It Better End Soon before the closing tracks. I don't know. There's cool stuff about this album. It's a good album, and it's not very Star Wars because it doesn't have a story to it. At least none that I can figure out. It's not very like concept albumy or like, you know, rock opera-y.
Yeah.
So there's not like really a hero's journey or anything like that, but it is very fun.
Some friends of mine had a band in high school that every once in a while I would be like a guest singer, like if a song they were doing needed 3 different vocalists or if they're, you know, whatever. But I wasn't like in it. I was just sort of adjacent to it. And they had, they formed out of like band at school. Like they were in band and jazz band and stuff. So like, they had a number of horn players, and like this type of song, or like Blues Brothers, or, you know, like, I feel like probably every class at every high school has some group of people who's like, let's make like a big, like a wedding band, you know, like a party band.
Party band, yeah.
And it is just like a blast.
Sure.
Like, of course. Live music is a blast, period. Like, If one friend knows how to kind of play guitar and another kind of knows how to play drums, you got yourself a band. But like,
you guys have a band, baby.
Stepping it up to like a bunch of guys, you know, in like high school, or in this case, you know, like probably in their 20s, who are like, oh yeah, like I learned to play the trumpet as part of school. Like, let's like plug that in, baby. Let's make it really rip.
Totally. But being in a band is fun.
Yeah,
is what I'll say.
And like witnessing live music with the like simple addition of trumpets.
Yes. Dude, my dream is to one day be in a band with the horn section.
It's because a blast.
When I write music, like I've written music in the past, there is like, and I think it's from listening to so much Dave Matthews Band in a formative years of my life, there's like always a horn section being like,
yeah.
You know, like it's there in my head, and I can't play any horns, so I always translate it into like strings. Mm. But like it always starts out as horns, and I'm like, I would kill to be in a band with the horn section.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It would be so fun. All right, let's give this dang thing a rating.
Did we do a good job at all? No.
Music and titles. Music and titles is all we talked about.
And 70s.
And no story. And there's no story, and it's not science fiction. No hero's journey, no characters.
But there are
really
moments where it sounds more orchestral and instrumental.
Mm-hmm, which is Star Wars-y.
And it also sounds like Pippin or Jesus Christ Superstar, which is kind of 70s-ish.
Yeah, totally.
I don't think it's very high.
It's not very high. I think my unit of measure is going to be, I mean, horns is the obvious one, so I'm not going to do horns. Song cycles. Mm.
And I'm going to do threats of legal action from the Chicago Transit Authority.
Absolutely. I might give it just a solid 2, I guess.
I think it's a 2.
Yeah.
It's Chicago 2, 2, Attack of the Clones.
Chicago 2. Well, there you have it, folks. We did it. Do you want us on the internet? Because if you do, you can find us. Did we do it this week? Not really.
I don't know that we did. But hey, guys, tune in next week because we're doing another episode of the Fast and the Furious franchise.
We're talking about Fast Furious 2 or Too Fast, Too Furious, which, if memory serves, is not as good as the first one.
So we'll see you next month.
Yeah, you'll see you next month for Fast Furious Tokyo Drift, which is
and the
also
Sufjan
a weird
Stevens
one
song Chicago.
And then we'll talk about the Native American word that they Chicago from, which means stinky onion.
Yes.
All right. Do you want us on the internet? Because if you do, you can find us at House Star Wars on Twitter and Instagram. You can email us at goodpodcast@gmail.com because that's what this is. We have several new emails.
Are they all bullshit?
They're all bullshit. We got one that just says the subject line says yes, and the text body says yes, and that's all.
Oh, wait, that means it's someone from Gen Z.
Oh, you're right. We asked for that. That was 8 days ago. We have to respond.
Yeah.
What did we say?
You should respond and be like, I'm just thanks.
I'm going to say thank you in all caps.
The listeners, if you didn't happen to catch whatever episode that was, we were saying, now I can't remember why it came up, but we asked anyone who's listening who is a member of Gen Z to email us just the word yes.
Oh my god, that's so funny. I forgot we said that. I thought that was spam.
We finally got an email.
We got a real email. It took us 8 days to respond because we were bad at our jobs.
And if you want more How Star Wars Is It, we also have a Patreon, patreon.com/HowStarWarsIsIt, where for $5 a month, you get a weekly bonus episode. This week, we talked about Santa Claus and New York versus Chicago pizza.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's only $5 a month. You get a weekly bonus episode. There's film commentaries of all the different Star Wars movies, as well as some other movies. The Matrix is in there. Full 2+ hour long recordings of Josiah and me watching a movie at his house and talking over it.
We've gotten two other emails
that say yes.
From that say that they're a lady from Ukraine and it sounds like AI. So there's that. We're still getting those emails, which is weird. All right. Did you say everything about the Patreon? Okay. Let's wrap up.
Yeah.
So sandwiches and Star. Okay, we gotta get out of here. So
yeah, so that's the Patreon.
That's Patreon.
You should go check it out and support the show. We've got 2 years worth of bonus episodes. So
yeah, it's a lot.
You give us $5 once, and you can listen to 2 years worth of shit, and then cancel it. You can just like spend an entire month only listening to bonus episodes
to us jabber on. Yeah. But that's everything. So sandwiches and Star Wars is about time to be bye-bye. So like we always say,
we love you.
And may the fourth be with you. Oh, you froze again. I have no idea if you said it with me or not.
No, I froze right when you said, so like we always say, so like we always say, sandwiches and Star Wars, it's about time for Tubby. Bye.
Bye.
So should we just try it again clean really quick?
So sandwiches and Star Wars, about time for Tubby. Bye-bye. So like we always say,
we love you. And may the fourth be with you. Bye.
Bye.
That can all stay in.
Yeah, that'll all be in the podcast.
Dave, let us know.
Yeah, Dave, let us know.